Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. Dad, not too long ago, we attended a hunting event at Headwaters Ranch in Texas, which was a fundraiser for Patrick Henry College. And anybody that knows us knows we are big fans of Patrick Henry College.
That is an understatement, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Patrick Henry College is a wonderful school. I've spoken there. I visited the campus. I know the president and, of course, Dr. Michael Ferris, who's with us today by telephone, I might say. And this school has the highest SAT scores for incoming freshmen. I'm going to ask Dr. Ferris the breadth of that. Is that all schools, all private schools, or what are the limits?
Evangelical Christian schools, self-proclaimed. We jump back and forth between Wheaton and Patrick Henry on who's first this year, but the two of us are in a head-to-head competition for the number one evangelical Christian college.
That's quite remarkable, isn't it? 80% of the students were homeschooled. That really says a lot about this movement, doesn't it?
It does. The fact is that one-on-one education is very effective, and we at Patrick Henry are the beneficiaries of a great number of kids who benefited from homeschooling, and we really are proud. Now, we're not limited to homeschoolers, but as you said, about 80% have been homeschooled.
Well, let me tell our listeners who we're talking to. You're hearing the voice of Dr. Michael Ferris, who's the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And he and his organization have done more to defend homeschoolers against the effort by a lot of people in traditional education who oppose the homeschool movement. And in the beginning, it was not even legal to educate your own children, in some states at least. From 2000 to 2006, Dr. Ferris served as president and professor of government at Patrick Henry College, and now he serves as chancellor. He received his Juris Doctorate from Gonzaga University School of Law in Spokane, Washington. He's also a United States constitutional lawyer. This man has unbelievable credentials, and I love him like a brother. He's the author of numerous books, including several on homeschooling and the family. He's married to Vicky, and they have 10 children. Count them, 10 children. Mm-hmm. Michael, did you and did Vicky homeschool all 10 of them?
Yes, and we still have one that we're homeschooling. This is our 32nd year of homeschooling that will be coming up for this school year. Oh. And he's in the 11th grade, so we're just about to the end of our journey as for our own children. But as of September, we have 17 grandchildren.
Oh, my.
And they're all being homeschooled. So we get to pitch in, you know, minor ways for our grandkids already. So there's not really going to be any grass growing under Vicky's feet. She'll keep her hand involved in homeschooling for a long, long time.
Well, we like to keep up with homeschooling and the movement surrounding it. I was with a friend of yours, the Werners, yesterday, and they have played a major role in homeschooling in Florida. So I like to keep, aware of what's going on there. Tell us what is new and where is the movement going?
Well, the issue that's facing homeschoolers right now that at least has grabbed a lot of our attention is this particular case of a German homeschooling family that came to the United States to seek asylum, the Romeika family. And the Sixth Circuit just recently decided to turn down our request for a motion for rehearing en banc. So we'll be filing a cert petition with the Supreme Court of the United States. And in the middle of the fall, we expect a ruling from the Supreme Court. Sometime in October or November, we expect a ruling from the Supreme Court on whether or not they'll grant the cert petition. That's the last step of the legal process. And the reason that homeschoolers are paying so much attention to this case is not just because of the impact upon this one family. Everybody is very concerned about the Romaika family. We want to make sure that they came here lawfully and that they can stay. They applied for asylum. They were granted asylum initially, but the Obama administration reversed that and has succeeded in getting the courts to back their reversal so far. Now, we're going to ask the Supreme Court to check that. Congress is looking at changing the law so it's clear that homeschoolers who are denied and are persecuted and prosecuted in foreign countries for denial of their family rights will be entitled to asylum. We're working on that. All of that to say, the reason that the government gives for denying this family is something that should scare every American, especially those that want to homeschool. They say, if a government denies you religious freedom for the purposes of suppressing a religious minority, that just helps to teach tolerance. And we're about teaching tolerance. And we want to advance tolerance. I just published an article in the Peabody Journal of Education that Vanderbilt puts out and about this whole issue of tolerance. And there are legal scholars at George Washington, at Emory, at Northwestern Law Schools, a historian at Stanford. All are calling for the abolition or severe curtailment of homeschooling and private schooling because they think that American Christian kids are not being taught to be tolerant. Why? Because we teach our kids that Jesus is the only way to God. That's the central reason. There are other things like what we teach about same-sex marriage, what we teach about male-female relationships. All those things are intolerant, according to this crowd. And they want to deny religious liberty so they can coercively teach us to be tolerant. We see those same voices coming together and wanting to ban homeschooling in the United States, and we see our own administration backing Germany while they're banning homeschooling in that nation. So there's an overall convergence of these things that are coming together, and it's all represented in this one little case.
Michael, you missed a step. Let's go back to the Romaika family in Germany and what they were experiencing there that caused them to flee to America.
Well, Germany bans homeschooling, and their federal court has said the reason they do it is they want to stop religious minorities from becoming a parallel society, which means a small group within a nation that thinks differently than the German government wants them to think. And to enforce that, they came to the family's house on several occasions. They took the children from the home on one occasion, forcibly enrolled them in the public school. They fined the family about 50% of the dad's annual income. They threatened jail, and the real thing that they were going after was to permanently remove the custody of the children from the family. They were going to take the kids away forever, and that's when the family fled to the United States.
Michael, can you quote the words on the Statue of Liberty?
No. You probably can't.
I can't. I know the essence of it, which says, bring your oppressed people here. This is a place of freedom.
I can quote it.
Okay, let's hear it.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Now, you just opened a computer, so you cheated a little bit. But that's the essence of it.
You didn't say, did I know it by heart? You said, can I quote it?
Well, you left that impression for everybody. Mm-hmm. The Romaika family is among that huddled mass.
Yearning to breathe free. Mike, really? Jail time? For home educating your kids, they're going to put these people in jail and permanently remove the children from their family because they educated them at home?
Right.
What's the fear from the German government? What do they fear so much that this family is going to teach their kids?
Well, they fear the creation of a group of religious families that think differently than the government wants them to think. That's it. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that this law has been on the books in Germany since the Hitler regime. And so we think that Germany's changed. Well, in many respects, it has. In some respects, it hasn't. Mm. And this is one of them. I spoke at a homeschool conference in Berlin last winter, and the reaction we got from people on the street was very, very aggressive. They don't believe in actual freedom. They believe in sectors of freedom, but not actual freedom. Unfortunately, our current administration doesn't believe in freedom either. The filings that they've made with the various courts say it out loud, that it is a routine, normal function of government to ban this kind of education for the purposes of promoting tolerance. This is legitimate government functions, is what they argue. And so when our own government argues the legitimacy of that in context, it's the legitimacy for any nation to do this, which means, of course, that the United States could do this as well. And the fact that we haven't chosen to do that is just simply a matter of legislative grace rather than parental rights. And so we need to make sure that we understand the consequences of these battles and are taking steps to reverse them, and we are. And the long-term solution that you have all graciously endorsed and promoted in the past is the Parental Rights Amendment. Congressman Mark Meadows from North Carolina is the chief sponsor of that in the House. Lindsey Graham actually has just recently agreed to be the chief sponsor of the Parental Rights Amendment in the Senate. And so for American families, that's our solution. But we need to do something to help others around the world who are facing this kind of persecution.
Mike, are there other countries that also feel this way? Is there a pattern throughout the world of countries that are against home education?
Well, the two most aggressive right now are Sweden and Germany. And Sweden has permanently removed the custody of a child from their parents. In fact, this family, the little boy was a dual citizen of India and Sweden. His dad was Swedish, his mom was from India. And they were on the plane, on the runway, leaving the country for good to move to India. And the police stormed the plane, took the little boy off, and it's been about a four-year legal battle. The little boy, the Johansson family, was permanently removed from the custody of the family by the Swedish Supreme Court within the last few months. It's a terrible, terrible case. And Germany and Sweden are, you know, the cutting edge of where Europe is going. And the European Court of Human Rights has sanctioned all this, citing the European human rights statutes, including the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. So you can understand where our nation would go if we adopt this UN human rights system. It's not human rights they're talking about. It's government control. That's what those things are really about. And we see that in play in these two nations. There are other nations. Greece is moving in the wrong direction. Switzerland has problems depending on which canton you're in. And, you know, England threatened to remove homeschooling rights a couple, 3 years ago, but there was a rising outcry from the homeschooling movement there, and they have, at least for the time being, reversed course. So this is an ongoing liberty battle that has to be fought nation by nation, state by state, county by county in this country and throughout the world.
So is this similar to what took place in California when they were trying to also ban home education?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's very, very similar to that. Now, fortunately, because we have our Constitution, we had the ability to go and fight back, and we succeeded in that. And as you all will remember, I filed a brief on behalf of your dad and myself in that court, and I did the oral argument on the constitutional issues in that case when they reversed it, and on the parents' rights and religious liberty arguments. But that brief was filed on behalf of Dr. Dobson and Mike Ferris.
Are you referring to H.R. 6 that you and I fought to the death?
No, that was another battle that we fought. We've done a lot of battles together, Jim. And you know, that was the one about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, in California, where an appellate court, just out of the blue, ruled homeschooling to be illegal in the state. And we did an amicus brief together. I mean, I did the legal work, but you did the political work. And I was able to do the oral argument in that case. The H.R. 6 battle that we did together in 1994, that's still legendary in Washington, D.C., as the number one example of grassroots outcry to stop something that had passed. It was a democratically controlled White House, a democratically controlled House and Senate, and the bad measure that would have banned homeschooling passed the relevant House committee on a straight party line vote, and 8 days later, because of the outcry coming from your show, from homeschoolers, from lots of other people, but your show really led the way, we defeated that and passed a counter-amendment 422-1. It still stands as the greatest reversal in 8 days in the history of Congress.
Well, there were more than a million phone calls that poured in to the Capitol after our program, and you made the case for what we believe. And they do still talk about that because it melted the switchboard.
It not only melted the Capitol Hill switchboards, Washington, D.C. as a whole was having problems getting calls through.
Well, there is still a lot of support for homeschooling out there, but what the Werners, Jim and Linda, told me yesterday is that there still is an effort to limit the homeschool families and to interpret the law in a way that will be disadvantageous to them. So we have to continue to be vigilant here in the United States. And the Romica family is a good example of it. In fact, it's outrageous.
It is outrageous. And they're exactly right. There are small incursions that are attempted, and there are big incursions that are attempted. And then there are academic theoreticians that are calling for a complete banning of homeschooling, as does the National Education Association in their annual resolutions of the teachers union.
All right, Mike, our time's getting away. Make the case for homeschooling because the results speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to call it the great kid average parent syndrome. Most people who have school-age children these days see the kids that are being homeschooled, and you see them well-behaved, you see them supporting the values their family have. Academics, they're at the top. Socialization, they can relate to people of all different ages. They're just great kids. And then they look at the parents and they say, you know what? These parents are average parents. If they can be successful and have great kids like this, I want to do it too. And so the reason homeschooling is growing is because of this great kid, average parent phenomenon. And anybody who wants to and is willing to work hard, they can do a great job and have wonderful results as well.
Well, you've had wonderful results at Patrick Henry College, too. Share some of that, because that's very inspiring.
Well, just this week, I got an email from a young man you know, Alex Harris, that wrote to me and said, Dr. Ferris, I just want to have you be among the first to know that I just got accepted onto the law review at Harvard Law School. And you like getting notes like that. Alex came to Patrick Henry, was one of our students that did very well. He went off to Harvard Law School and now has made Harvard Law Review. He's going to be one of the top leaders of the country, and that's the goal of Patrick Henry College. We want to train those who are going to lead the nation and shape the culture in the future. And we see young people coming in who love Jesus, who love the freedoms that this country was given by God, but through the work of the Founding Fathers, and believe in the principles of the Founding Fathers. And so with that combination of classical education and the ability to ground everything we teach in the Word of God, we get this wonderful result of these kids that are going off and blowing the top off of in the legal field and political field. A number of them are starting to teach in private schools. The intelligence community grabs our kids like mad. We have a strategic intelligence program, and the CIA and the FBI and the other agencies and some private contractors are grabbing our graduates in that program, you know, rapidly. None of those kids are unemployed. Just within a few weeks after they graduate, they're all snapped up. And in journalism and other fields, we see our kids starting to go into filmmaking. Like Bill Bennett, for example, his producer is a Patrick Henry College graduate. Laura Ingraham, one of her producers, is a Patrick Henry College graduate. Mm-hmm. So we see our young people influencing the public square in a lot of different ways, and that's what we want to do, is to turn this nation around for Christ and for liberty. People love our kids because they work very hard and they're very bright. I personally learned how bright and capable they are recently. You know, as if I needed reinforcing myself, I had to write a Supreme Court amicus brief on a particular issue, and life was just overwhelming. And I had two young men who work for me, one who's a law school graduate, and he was my first moot court champion, national champion from PhD, and he's gone off to law school, he's come back, and he's now working for HSLDA as a lawyer. And the other is a young man who had graduated from PhD, was on our moot court team, and is going to law school this coming fall at the University of Virginia. And I said to these guys, okay, look, you guys are going to have to draft this, and I'm going to leave myself 12 hours to fix the work and make this Supreme Court amicus brief on a very complicated issue make it worthwhile, because I don't put my name on a brief unless I've really thoroughly vetted it and rewritten it and edited it and done everything, make sure it's right. Well, I got in that morning when I was going to start the 12-hour process, and it was so well done, it took me 30 minutes to fix it. Mm-hmm. These young people are so capable, such excellent writers and researchers, that I was blown away. We get feedback from, you know, like I remember an Army colonel sending us a note that we had one of our students intern for a military intelligence operation, and it got back, and he said in his many years of service, this was the finest intern he'd ever seen in all of his history. We get that kind of feedback on a regular basis. And I frankly want to thank the moms and dads that have homeschooled our kids, because that's the raw material we get. Yeah, we do a good job with them, but for the wonderful raw material that we start with, those kind of results would not be possible. We really, really are standing on the shoulders of the homeschooling movement. Since you helped launch the modern homeschooling movement, in many respects, we view Patrick Henry College as part of your legacy.
Mm-hmm. Michael, we've got 1 minute left. We want to talk to you again if you can stay with us. But
sure.
Talk about the moot court, where your students debate other colleges and universities, and especially what happened in Oxford.
Well, the moot court team has won 7 national championships, 5 in a row now. We are the only college in America that's ever won more than one, and we've won multiple dozens of regional championships along the way. Several years ago, I was visiting Oxford when I was writing a book, and I met a student from Balliol College at Oxford and ended up challenging his moot court team to a competition. And so I took 2 teams, which is 2 students per team, 4 kids, and we went to Balliol, and we had a round-robin match with 4 students from Oxford. And we were in front of judges, all of whom were graduates of Balliol. And the final round was in front of 2 judges that are the equivalent of Supreme Court judges in the United States. They were British law lords. And our students, using British law, British contract law, British protocol, beat Oxford in a head-to-head competition in front of alumni from their own college. Then we did a rematch in the Supreme Court of Virginia, where we used American law and protocol, and we won again. So this isn't to say that we're better in Oxford in every respect, but it shows that we have kids that are in the same zone, and that they can compete and compete fairly and do well. And when you're at that level, performing at that level of excellence, there are a lot of opportunities that open up to change this country.
Michael, our time is gone now, but if you'll be with us next time, we'll pick it up right here. There's more that we need to talk about having to do with Patrick Henry College, which I support, I'm excited about, I believe in. I've met the students, I've met the faculty, and we want to talk a little more about that. I also want to talk to you some more about what's going on in the homeschools movement. And thank you for being our guest today, and we'll pick up right here next time.
Thank you.
We look forward to speaking with Dr. Ferris again next time. In the meantime, please keep the Romica family in your prayers. We really do need the 6th Circuit Court to make the right decision regarding this family who's desperately trying to avoid jail time and having their children removed from their home and placed under the control of the German government. I can't even imagine. Also, for more information on homeschooling your own kids, we do have lots of resources linked at drjamesdobson.org, including a link to our partner, This Old Schoolhouse magazine. They have even more information and resources about the homeschool movement. And finally, this reminder that Family Talk is totally listener-supported. We're in the beginning phase of our 1,000 days of impact, and we're already ahead of schedule because of our generous listeners. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can do so via our website, drjamesdobson.org, our Facebook page, and our smartphone app. Also, when you call, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. God bless, and we'll see you next time for more with Dr. Michael Ferris here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here to let you know about a very exciting promotion going on here at the ministry. Some wonderful friends have pledged to match our year-end donations dollar for dollar. That's right, every gift made to Family Talk for the next couple months will be doubled. And this blessing couldn't have come at a better time of year. For most people, the holiday season is one of joy, a time to spend with brothers and sisters, grandparents and cousins. But we know for others, the holidays bring nothing but pain because they aren't close with their families. Maybe relationships are strained or non-existent, or distance keeps them apart. It's for these people that we ask you to support Family Talk, so that we can send messages of reconciliation, encouragement, and love into this broken world. You can give online at drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825.